Our reading for Monday, May 25th, is from Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship of Adramentium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, and as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmon. The coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spending the winter there. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind, called the northeaster, struck down from the land, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running along the lee of a small island called Clauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo, and on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island.' When the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore I urge you to take some food. It will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach, on which they had planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. When then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. but striking a reef they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any should swim away and escape, but the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Luke is giving us a fairly detailed account of everything that happened on this voyage trying to sail for Rome. And of course, chapter 28 is important, of the events that happen on the island of Malta. But as far as 27 goes, I don't have a whole lot of comments to make for today's reading. I would point out to you that Paul was given a prophecy. Paul was first of all told, don't set sail. They didn't listen to him, and they set sail anyway. Then when they did set sail, he is given the vision that tells him that they would survive. The ship and the cargo would be lost, but they would survive, and he shares that vision with them. Then finally, he is, I think, given a vision to tell them that they can't let those sailors go, that they were going to have to stay on the boat if they were going to all survive. By that time, notice that the centurion believes Paul. He takes heed to what Paul is saying, and they prevent those sailors from being able to leave. That's likely being told to Paul because then they were able to sail just a little bit farther and then shipwreck on the reef. I would also point out to you that despair was likely setting in. They got to that 14th day, of which they had not had any food. And apparently they did have at least a little bit of food left, or they used the wheat that it mentions to make some food. I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but we do know that there was some food that they were able to eat. And Paul does. He grabs some bread and he gives thanks for it, and they all eat. And then they throw the remainder of the wheat overboard. So it's a pretty desperate situation when you go 14 days without food. I think by this time, before they had taken of this food, that they were likely ready to give up hope. But Paul, telling them to eat, gain a little bit of strength. This is likely an inspiration as well, because they were going to have to swim ashore after the shipwreck, and they were going to need some energy to do it. But it also bolstered their spirits. And this is, at least as far as I can tell, this is not a small ship. 276 persons in the ship. Now, there are some differences in the manuscripts, maybe due to copying or what have you. But I've got a footnote that tells me that some manuscripts say 76 or about 76. So, even so, it's not a small ship to carry 76 people either. And this would have been a significant loss of life without the guidance of God through Paul. Now, I would also point out to you that in that vision that Paul received, he is told that he must stand before Caesar. The providence of God is very active here. God is guiding these events and protecting Paul. And realize, too, that through all these events, that the centurion not only begins to believe Paul, but he cares about Paul. Because at one point they wanted to kill the prisoners so that they would not escape, and the centurion does not allow them to do this because he wants to protect Paul. So all of this is very important, and it's going to lead us into a great foundation to get into chapter 28 of the events on the island of Malta. So just keep all these things in mind as we get ready for tomorrow's reading, and we'll get into Acts chapter 28 then. We're coming to the end of the book of Acts, and we've got one more chapter to look at, and then I think I'll make some observations using other letters that were written that give us a little bit more information about what happens at the end of chapter 28, and then we'll move on to another book of the Bible. I have had many encouraging comments from members of the church here in Burnet that this has been of great use to you, and that you'd like to see it continue, not just while we're avoiding social contact due to the COVID-19 coronavirus, but even past that. And to the best of my ability, I will try to keep that up. There may be some instances in which we may have to skip a day or two if things come up, but as the Lord wills and as schedule can permit, I will do my best to try to keep it up, even as we restore back to a normal schedule and normal service times. Thank you for your attention. Please come back for another reading tomorrow, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.